Welcome to Faith Uncut, a podcast where we explore faith in ways that might get you kicked out of most churches. I'm your host, Mike.
And I'm Amira.
And it is Black Music Month. And it is also Pride Month. So yes. We figured, let's just do a mashup. And this week we wanted to celebrate Black artists, mm-hmm. recording artists, mm-hmm. who have influenced music, but are also in the LGBTQ community.
Yes.
Because that's a huge community, and if you're talking about musical influence, we could literally be here forever.
Yes.
So we think that they deserve
a highlight, shout out.
So if we're gonna do Black music, let's do it all.
Yes. And we know that this list that we've worked up is not exhaustive in the least bit, but we're still gonna take an attempt at it.
So on this list, you'll see people that we appreciate. Mm-hmm. So some will be well known, some will be lesser known, and we tried to put a list together of places where we like to jump in. And so if you hadn't heard of them, maybe you want to jump in with a specific song, and if you have heard of them, maybe you just want to go back and listen to that song again because the music is dope.
Yes.
So first up is my favorite little android.
Janelle Monae, who is identified as...
pansexual.
Okay.
Janelle Monae is one of my favorite artists.
Period.
Just follow her from her EP. Janelle Monae, early in her career, she had an EP that was separated, and then she had an android persona that she adopted, and that became the story for which she told the first three albums.
Okay.
Now, my favorite Janelle Monae album is Arc Android because it is just a gorgeous, it is sonically gorgeous. And that's why I was like, yo, she got orchestras on here. She has an overture on here. The overture at the top of the album, like, plays all of the songs most of the songs throughout the album in a classical piece that is just so strong and powerful. And then she tells the story of herself, Cindy, as the android, and she's in love with Sir Greendown, and this is their adventure in this society, this dystopian future where androids are outlawed. And so they have this love story going on in this place where the androids are discriminated against. It's really beautiful. And so she's done this for three albums. So the creativity behind that is like, that's why she ended up being just one of my favorites. So this song,
I'm gonna have to check everything out.
Dance or Die from Arc Android. You really can't go wrong with any song on there.
Okay.
All right. My number two artist, who is actually like probably one of my favorite artists right now, this is Tiffany Gouche.
Okay.
Tiffany Gouche identifies as queer, and she is a monster producer and vocalist. Oh my God. Tiffany Gouche, she had an album called Pillow Talk. Now, that is another album where you could just go straight through and listen to the whole, like, everything is perfect. And I found Tiffany through, actually, it was this song, Fantasy. And to me, at the time, I didn't know who it was. The song just came on the radio, and I thought it was like one of them little boys that'd be singing Jeremiah, one of them kids, because I hadn't considered that she was queer, because I didn't know it was a she. Mm-hmm. And the song was about this woman, and so I was like, "Yo, that song is so dope. Who is that?" Then it was like Tiffany Gouche, and I was like, "Oh my God, this is like," because I don't really hear it at the time. I hadn't heard like queer artists are singing the songs like they would normally sing to whoever they wanted to sing it to. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, this is beautiful. Really special. Because like I love Brandy Norwood. That's one of my favorite artists.
Yes.
But like when Brandy sings a song, like let's say He Is or something like that, like it's her singing her heart out to this dude, which is okay. I mean, that's cool. But Tiffany Gouche is like singing her heart out to this woman, and it's just so perfect the way she does. Oh, she produced Layla's last album.
Oh, okay.
Crushed it. Like that's one of that may be my favorite. It's top two Layla albums for me.
Okay.
So yeah, if you get a chance, check out Tiffany Gouche.
Yes, I will. I'm like adding to my playlist as we go through this.
That Pillow Talk CD, you cannot go wrong with that.
We can do that, babe. Feel your body cooling, what's left? Okay, so next is Kalani. R&B singer, relatively new. In the last, 3 years, I think? Five?
I think 2013, 2014.
Okay, so as y'all can see, I'm late on everything. But she identifies as pan.
Queer and pansexual. And,
yeah.
This is like, I love this song so much.
Everybody should listen to this song.
Yeah, the CD is dope. This song is called Love Language.
Love Language. It is perfect. I heard it the other day in my car. And just had to keep running it back because I was like, this is 2019 love song. Like I deeply like you love song.
Yeah. You know, this is based off the Gary Chapman book of the 5 Love Languages. Mm-hmm. And they did an actually good job. I mean, she's not trying to get you on the Christian train with him, but she's just using the concept, which is a good concept, yes, whether it's Christian or not. This is
it's smart. This is a smart song.
Oh.
Imagine that.
I'm sorry, y'all. I love music. I love this episode, y'all.
So next on our list, highly recognizable if you ask me,
the Queen Diva,
Big Freedia, hailing from New Orleans, identifies as a gay male. But uses he or she as the pronouns.
Yes.
Okay, so Big Freedia is one of the more visible icons in this local but internationally known hip-hop culture coming out of New Orleans that has blended hip-hop, which is not known for welcoming LGBTQIA people, but with this strong gay culture and pride coming out of that same area. So there are other artists that we could highlight. Freedia's featured at the beginning. One of his largest features is the ad-libs that he contributed to Beyonce's Formation single. There was also another artist on Formation, Messy Maya, rest in peace. But there's this, here are these two top features internationally known, but Freedia stands on his own. Yeah. So we have... And even in my family, my brother used to dance for him. So,
oh, really?
Yes. So for a couple years, I was like really, really, really into it because I was, you know, supporting my brother's performances. But
this is my Freedia song. This? I love this song. My favorite Freedia song is a Christmas song, Rudolph the Big Booty Reindeer, because it just got the bounce. It's amazing. So yeah, I've been a fan. Like, you know what I'm saying? I watched the show.
Right.
You know,
I've
cooked a Big Freedia recipe before. Booty popping potatoes. Of course. Dream was amazing. I know how to cook, but Freedia know how to cook. It was her recipe. So
listen, I'd cook anything. New Orleans is just a special place for food, but that's not what we're talking about.
Right. Alright, so who we got next on the list? Well, we just wanted to head nod to Josephine Baker, icon.
Yes, historical figures. So Josephine Baker was a singer and an actress, born in East St. Louis in 1905. I'm like doing recall from an old project I did in middle school. Well, it was eye-opening because even the history books that I was able to find on her highlighted her bisexuality. So I don't know if people remember this performance, but like in 2006, after the B-Day release, Beyonce performed with bananas around her waist. Yeah. It was a silver outfit with bananas that was directly inspired by Josephine Baker, who was known for racy outfits, dance outfits, because she had experienced racism trying to become a part of a chorus line. So she left chorus lines and started having her own shows in Paris. She's someone who was an expatriate. So she went to Paris to live. She said that it was freer. She felt freer in her blackness. She had actually lived through riots and things in the St. Louis area, mm-hmm. and eventually grew to have a family and adopted 10 children from all backgrounds. So she just brought a lot to the culture and the game. Yeah. I mean, we're not going to be able to play a clip per se, but something for you guys to look up.
Yes. Next up is B. Slade. So B. Slade has not self-identified.
Okay.
Has admitted to same-sex attraction, so he could be on the list. And he's on the list because he's dope. I remember...
First and foremost.
Yeah. So B. Slade was formerly a gospel artist named Tone.
Mm-hmm.
Tone was huge in gospel music.
Yes, he was.
Now, before Tone was huge in gospel music, this was 1999. I was in New Orleans at this convention called the Gospel Music Workshop of America. And my group was releasing our album that week. Now, we're at the workshop and we're you know, networking and trying to get into all these showcases and all this stuff and trying to see where we can play and everything. And so we went to this showcase called the Announcers Guild Showcase, where this was, again, this is like decades ago. Radio hosts were the primary outlet to get your music out. And so we were trying to get on the Announcers Guild Showcase. So we snuck in.
Mm-hmm.
And when we snuck in, we saw like this setup with carpet on the floor, candles and all that stuff. And we was like, what is this? Like, what kind of show is this? And it was really like an interesting setup. And then this guy comes out on stage with this top hat and this feather boa, sunglasses,
yes,
and stuff,
yes,
like
that's
that.
That's what I remember.
I was like, yo, what is happening? And he starts singing, and I was like, oh my God. Like, I was like, gospel music has not seen anything like this
like
ever. He completely destroyed in that Announcers Guild showcase. I mean, mm-hmm. people were just talking about him for the rest of the week. And then that's when, after that, Tone became huge in gospel music because his presence, his performance, his talent, writing, everything about him was just incredible, incredibly unique. And I just always remember Tone from those experiences. And then he went on to leave gospel music and adopted the persona of B. Slade,
mm-hmm.
and still making great music. So this is Mood from his Taurus album. That's my mood. 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 Big mood. Yep. Look. So if you have not checked out B. Slade,
you should.
Yeah, if you remember Tone, then check out B. Slade. The music is crazy. All right, who we got next?
Rahsaan Patterson. Now, you talk about somebody I love for real. Oh my God, do y'all hear this song in the background? This song is so sexy.
But this, okay, is a classic song right here.
Yeah. So, he identifies as gay. Hey. This guy was such a beautiful
boy. I love... So, like, my wife loves Rahsaan. She's a huge Rahsaan Patterson fan.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I didn't get it at first. Because I just... We listened to so much music. And I was, you know, so hip-hop for so long. We went to see Layla, Ledisi, and Rahsaan. They used to do this Valentine's Day show.
Mm-hmm.
And Rahsaan just...
Yeah,
oh, my
crazy.
God. Like, after seeing that show, I hadn't seen anyone that agile. It was clean. Like, it's like a Stokely timbre to his voice.
Yeah.
He's crisp in how he sings and how he approaches his...
Do y'all hear these mechanics? Like, do you hear these terms?
That stuff really matters. Like, he could do whatever he wants to do on that microphone. And when he gets in the studio, he's just making beautiful music. So this was... I can't claim this discovery, but I appreciate the fact that I was introduced to Mr. Rahsaan Patterson.
Yes.
Yeah, he's been around forever.
Forever.
So I always knew about him, but I was never like a huge fan until I saw that live show. And
okay.
I was like, yeah, yeah, we here. All right, now we go on to the
crown.
The GOAT.
the Kern.
This is Mr. Luther Vandross himself.
I mean, we could have picked 100 songs.
Yeah.
And I would have had the same reaction, like House Is Not a Home. Bad Boys. That's my jam.
There are very few voices like this. Like this, this voice is him and Nat King Cole are the two cleanest voices I've ever heard in my life.
Wow.
Luther has incredible range, impeccable mic technique. Like when you see Luther live, and his voice is so powerful. But you know how, like on American Idol, they'll sing and then they kind of hollering in the mic.
Yeah.
But before that, people would their mic technique. They would pull the mic back to create different sounds and to actually not be so abrasive with some of the notes. They're hitting these big, huge notes. Luther was like that, and he was a great writer. This voice, you could listen to this all day. Luther Vandross, it didn't matter what song, like you said, we could have picked anything, and this would have been perfect. People could not do what Luther Vandross did in terms of his range, and then they could not recreate the way he sounded. Now, Luther never identified either way,
right?
So we're kind of cheating putting him on a list. In his biography, it was mentioned that people in the industry were aware.
Yeah.
They knew who his relationships were with. And then Patti LaBelle had that famous incident where she outed him after he died, which she took a lot of heat for that. But so I don't know that we're outing him. I didn't want to do that with anyone. Right. That's why I wanted to make sure that we're
careful to say who has not self-identified, because that is not our goal.
But I could not put Luther on this list.
Yeah, because that would be wrong.
Because I want to hear Luther Vandross all the time. So
also,
all right, so let's go back.
We're gonna dip back into history a little bit with our next selection, with
Ma Rainey. Ma Rainey also had, this is also another one where she had not self-identified. Now, this is, Ma Rainey was born in the turn of the 20th century. Yeah. So she was born in the 19th century.
Yeah, the late 1800s.
Yeah, so the fact that she had not self-identified doesn't hold the same weight in the 21st century, two centuries later.
Yeah.
This song is called Prove It On Me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the songs that people point to and say, because the lyrics indicate that she's with another woman in the song. And just imagine in the early 20th century, late 19th century, you're singing this. Like, this is right. Aside from Ma Rainey being the mother of the blues, like, this, she has a rich blues voice. You could just listen to this. I know the recordings don't have the same quality as they do now, but if you put on a Ma Rainey record, like, you know that that's her. You know that's her voice. And she was unashamed about whatever she did. Like, however she presented herself, however she dressed, whatever she sung about. You gotta love Ma Rainey. So, for her contribution to the blues and to black music, she's definitely on this list.
All right.
Oof.
So we kind of went back and forth over which song to select from this next artist.
Yeah. So Michelle and the Gale Cello. We wanted to.
You said that so fluently.
That's her name.
So. I mean, it's true, but so I remember like just stumbling over that for such a long time.
Before anyone knew how. We didn't have the internet when she first dropped, so no one knew really how to say it. You had to hear her say it in an interview. But she started, I think the first song that everyone knew was Outside Your Door.
Yeah.
Which that hit so hard.
Yeah, I had that CD.
And then she had a huge hit with Fool on Me from the, what was that, Love and Basketball?
Love
Jones.
No, it was Love and Basketball.
Yeah.
And Fool of Me is heavy.
Yeah.
That is, it's a good song, but for many a person, it is a song that conjures. However, I'm glad we went with this song because She has a very beautiful, I mean, I'm not going to be as technical as you, but she has a very beautiful voice. Like, there are some voices that stand out to me for how smooth they are or how nuanced they are. Like, you can see the artistry, you can see the instrumentation of the person's voice, and that's what I can see with her, or that's what I experience with her music.
Yeah, I'm listening to this bounce. She is killing on that bass. Oh, she could play. Y'all, she could play her ass off. Michelle is a musician. She's a musician's musician. She can write, she can play, she can sing. This is Don't Disturb the Groove from her Ventriloquism album. That was an album of covers. Mm-hmm. She did a ton of covers on there. Waterfall, all these songs, definitely check this out. But this is my favorite song from that album. This song is just a vibe. Man, she has plenty of original music that she's written. And she can do whatever she does.
I'm gonna take this list and expand my playlist.
All right, next we have one of the finest ever. Yes. Best to ever do it.
Yes. Billie Holiday, hailing from Baltimore, who identified as bisexual.
This is probably the most powerful song I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Strange Fruit.
So she makes the list not only because of her beautiful voice, which my almost 91-year-old grandmother can mimic perfectly and still can. So that's a side story. But this particular song is, for the time that it was written in, this is the self-destruction of its time, or the... it's not even an anthem. This is not something that you would catch a group of people singing, but it was such an indictment of the society in which she had to operate as an artist and a musician. And she was calling attention to, in this particular song, the epidemic of lynching throughout the South.
Say self-destruction. Self-destruction was fun for me.
Yeah, so
I wanted to sing along with self-destruction. Like you said, this one, I wanted to.
I don't know that I can't.
I don't think there's another song like this.
Yeah.
So, Strange Fruit, especially like if you see any visual presentation of this song, where they actually show like lynchings alongside her, or if you see her sing the song, this is calling attention to, like you said, the black people who were hung from trees, and you hit blood on the leaves, blood at the root. It's just, this is one of the best songs in the history of American music.
I don't know that you get modern protest anthems without this song.
All right. Yeah, this is
or this contribution. And this stands out, but there is a whole body of work of her as a jazz artist, her as a jazz vocalist, tortured personality, a person that you knew was dealing with a lot of chaos and a lot of pain, but produced this, I don't know, like this, it, when I say this body of work, like one of my most significant adult moments has her in the background. Just something you can recall. Me and Billy. Here is a strange and
bitter. This next artist was, I don't know how widely known this was. He was a gay male.
Okay.
Smooth.
I mean, I was familiar with the song, but when I realized the name of the person, I'm like, these two things are connected.
Yeah. This is Mr. Johnny Mathis. Also, just a great boy. And I feel like I'm clinging to a cloud. this is misty. You just want to dance around and glide all the floor.
I get misty just holding your hand.
And if you're from where we're from, you know that one of the biggest songs in Go-Go is Chuck Brown's cover of this song.
Yes. Yes.
I'm talking about if we hear it at any event, you can tell who grew up here and who didn't, because it is our local gospel, the Chuck Brown cover of this song.
Johnny Mathis is one of those voices that you like. He's in the Dean Martin class, the Frank Sinatra class. Yeah. Johnny Mathis is and heartthrob for all types of people during a time when that really wasn't a thing. Like, you really didn't get a lot of black people who could cross over that way.
Right.
But Mr. Mathis, he was that person. He crossed over. That's amazing talent.
Yes.
This is a new fave. Lizzo.
Yes, I love her. You really have to get into her. I got into her on an uninterrupted flight, and it changed my life. I was like, where have I been?
Yeah.
She is so, she is everything. She is like an attitude, a mood, a declaration.
She self-identifies as straight, bisexual, gay, lesbian. So she's clear to make this list as far as I'm concerned. Just because I just got to listen to this album. I listen to this album at least once a week.
Okay.
I'm not going to sing because
no, don't sing.
But this is Juice from the Because I Love You album. She raps too. So it's not just singing. And for those of you who have not heard Lizzo, you should be listening to Lizzo.
You really should.
The whole damn bill. All right, let me see. What's up next?
Okay, so this artist. is making the list, but let's just talk about this real quick. So this is Young M.A., who, when I say she's one of the best lyricists, male or female, right now in the game, I'm talking about line them up, lay them down. Her bars are ridiculous. She identifies as lesbian. She has a more masculine presentation. But if you are into lyrics, I'm telling you, you can get lost in her delivery. It's one thing that I've seen with how her audience embraces her. You know, I love to jump in the comments and read and see, you know, what people are saying. One, there's pure appreciation for her skill. When your skills are tight, you know, everything else comes secondary to that. She's beautiful, and I don't mean to say that in any sort of disrespectful way, but she looked good. Whatever you're looking at, she looked good. I just find myself just being like, yo, New York does it again. Like, she's from Brooklyn, and I mean, that's cool too, but this is so opposite of, let's say, what a Cardi B is doing, you know, and I still have appreciation for that, but like, what? Straight getting eaten up in a battle. Like, this is, we talk about apples and oranges right now.
Yeah, so people who like, there's lanes for all of these people. Cardi does her thing, you know what I'm saying? Cardi is on
and it's not about competition, right. I'm just saying
the way
comparison.
I enjoy Cardi is the way I enjoy Nicki, but I enjoy Young M.A. the way I enjoy Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Like, the two of them, in terms of like just listening to the music, I'm going to always defer to Rhapsody and Young M.A. just because the way that I grew up with bars, you know what I'm saying? I grew up with rappers that actually that put time on the poetry of hip hop. And so Young M.A. is right in the mold. Like,
I heard, I think it was like a video, like somebody recorded her on an iPhone and it went viral because it was 2 minutes, but the streets would not leave her alone. Like, we need it. And I'm glad that she has developed into not even mainstream, but she's developed into an artist that has access to all of these platforms. She has a strong following. But I'm telling you, if you're into a 16, 32, keep it going. She's what you want. She's something to consume.
So we didn't do a long list. I actually had this playlist is long as hell. Like, I got so much music on here.
So maybe we should post the playlist.
Nah, because the playlist got, like, the artists that we mentioned are in the playlist, but it's like lots of songs from all these artists. Like, it's like all my favorite songs and some of your favorite songs since you added to the list as we were putting the show together. But this is
y'all ask Mike to post this playlist if y'all want it.
I'm gonna listen to this playlist all month.
Okay.
And I'm gonna keep adding to it too. You know what I wanted to do is I couldn't find the innovators who created. There was not a. This is Tiffany Goucher, by the way. I'm telling y'all, if y'all don't get on this Tiffany Goucher, if there's one artist that you gotta run from this list, it's Tiffany Goucher. I missed her when she was here too. She was just here 2 weeks ago, and I couldn't go. No, a week and a half ago, I couldn't go. House music, that's us. But I couldn't find, like, there's not one person to respond. There's like a group of DJs who are responsible for pushing this music, house music, out of Chicago in the 1980s. We got ballroom.
Yep.
Which, that's a culture, but also the music that's coming out of there as we are on the eve. This is going to post this week. So Pose.
Oh, yeah.
Pose is coming up.
I just saw a video by Todrick Hall, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Awesome. So that's something. I mean, we don't mean to overlook. We know that this is not exhaustive. We just wanted to highlight.
Yeah, because the contribution of this specific community of people. Yes. Like, we wouldn't have music like without
like we
this.
Have, and y'all need to know, and we're not gonna get all crazy, but y'all wouldn't even have what y'all crank off to in your churches if you did not have these particular reflections of God's creation. Like, these are God's kids, and they make beautiful, beautiful music.
I love it all. I love them all.
Yes.
Happy Black Music Month.
Yes.
Enjoy Pride.
Enjoy Pride.
For all the people who may not enjoy Pride, get out the way. Let these people enjoy Pride. Yes. Let everybody have a good time and celebrate themselves and just have a loving, beautiful month. Like, this should be, we got Black Music Month and Pride riding together.
Right.
Y'all, be happy.
Yeah, make the most of it.
Find a way to do it. For Faith Uncut, I'm your host, Mike.
And I'm Amira.